Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. I am your host, Sterling Holmes. Darren is still at home recovering, getting better, I hope. Darren, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, it's a daily healing process. So, look, as long as I get a chance to wake up on the other side, of this world, and look, hey, I'm good, man. But all in all, you know, feeling a little bit better, legs looking a little bit better. But it is going to be a daily grind to get back to full recovery. But that being said, man, let's do it.
Are you saying you're day to day like a Mitchell Schwartz, Eric Berry day to day?
I walked right into that, didn't I? No. That's a very good point, Sterling. Points for you on that. I guess for the swelling and everything to go down, they're saying about 7 to 10 days. So, I'll be traveling to Tampa with no problems, but I should be good by the AFC Championship game, if not before then.
So let's get into some NFL talk, because there's a lot of news around the NFL from Eric Bieniemy to Urban Meyer to who's in and who's out for this playoff game this weekend. Let's start with a player. Let's start with Jared Goff, because Jared Goff is now expected to be the starter. I don't know if there was a lot of surprise with this, but with Wolford officially being ruled out, this means Jared Goff has to start. I don't know if that hand is 100%. He wasn't even supposed to play last week, so give him credit for fighting through the pain and being able to perform and get a win against the Seahawks team. But what are you expecting from Jared Goff now that he's officially named the starter?
Well, I would expect him to play much better than what he did last week, even though, you know, to his credit, I thought he did well. All things being equal. Look, the fact that he wasn't expected to start or play at all because of his thumb, and then to come in and to give the performance that he was able to do to get the Rams the win over the Seattle Seahawks, I think it's pretty big. And look, it's all hands on deck going from here on out. So if he gives you the best chance to win, even though he's not 100%, I think having Jared Goff out there is the right move. You know, you got Cooper Kupp, you got some of these other players that's going to be dependent on him. And look, going up against Aaron Rodgers, you got to be at full strength as humanly possible, because I know there were also questions about Aaron Donald. And of course, you know, according to the coach, you know, he said that, look, if nothing else, Aaron Donald is going to play in that ball game. And so, look, I know he only threw for 155 yards in that game, but he did throw for a touchdown. So, you know, I mean, he's healthy enough to do what is necessary. If the defense can get after Aaron Rodgers and they can contain, like if Jalen Ramsey can contain Devontae Adams, I think Jared Goff, in managing the offensive side of the ball, you're going to have to run Akers a lot. Yeah, you know, that's where the running game, Sterling, is going to come into effect that can help you win a game, because that's going to help protect Jared Goff and his thumb. So if they can do that, there's an outside chance that they can knock off Green Bay this weekend.
Yeah, and that defense is key. We've seen, Jared Goff and this team make a Super Bowl, and again, it wasn't based necessarily on his arm. It's more on Sean McVay, more on this defense. That's the same kind of strategy you have to have. You know, Jared Goff maybe not be healthy enough to throw deep or to try and fit the ball into some tight windows, but as long as he does not make mistakes, and if this defense with Aaron Donald, like you say, if he can come back and be healthy in this game, we've seen what Jalen Ramsey has done. If he can even somewhat slow down Devontae Adams, because you're not going to shut down Devontae Adams, but if you can slow Devontae Adams down, there's not a whole bunch of other weapons offensively on this Packers team. You know, the Rams may have a good shot.
No, I'm with you. And look, and people, you know, Jalen, I'm not going to say he's a Darrell Revis or Deion Sanders where he's a shutdown corner. But, you know, because people will say, well, DK Metcalf had 96 yards and two touchdowns. But you got to remember on where they were at in the ball game. You know, I mean, the team were, you know, the Rams at the time were probably already winning, what, 30-13 when he, you know, when he probably got that last touchdown that, you know, that kind of made the score a little bit more respectable. So, you know, those were, I hate to always say it, but those were like more so Dak Prescott touchdown passes that Russell Wilson threw at the very end. But look, all that being said, that's going to be a really, really, really a great matchup. Probably the best matchup of the weekend because that matchup alone can determine whether or not, you know, Green Bay wins or lose that game.
What's interesting to me is there are so many good quarterbacks in the playoffs. I mean, we always know typically the best quarterbacks make the playoffs, yeah. But when Jared Goff is not only made it to a Super Bowl, but is by far, I would probably say, the worst quarterback in the playoffs, you have a pretty good bunch of guys.
You are just mean, Stroud.
I'm not being mean. I mean,
I don't know.
If you're being honest, though, there's a huge drop-off, in my opinion, from some of the guys. Maybe, honestly, if you're going Patrick at one or Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and the way Baker Mayfield's played, that leaves a pretty big gap to where Jared Goff is.
I'm at to put Baker below Jared Goff. I can't disrespect Jared Goff leading a team to a Super Bowl and you know over Baker Mayfield who's won one playoff game. I can't do that, man.
Hey, I
can't do that.
It's funny because I'm not a big Baker Mayfield guy. I'm not.
I'm not.
I know you aren't, but I have to give credit where credit's due, and Baker Mayfield has been extremely good recently. It's to the point where he looks like an actual dangerous quarterback. He looks like what the Browns thought he would be when he was drafted.
No argument.
It took Odell going down.
Well, and that's what's bad because that's what it took to bring that out of him. Because just imagine if Odell hadn't gotten injured or whatever, or at least been gone for the season. If Baker still could have been that quote unquote game manager, to where you get Odell 6 or 7 catches, but you do it within the body of the game plan instead of trying to force things to him. If you don't force things to Odell, and you got it to where Cleveland is coming to town, and you got Odell, Jarvis, Chubbs, Hunt, that type of that coming in Arrowhead. Now you might have me thinking, okay, well, you're still going to win, but, might win by 3 instead of 13 now. So that's all I'm saying. Baker is doing what he needs to do, which is, to get that fifth-year option, which I think he's earned now. But, again, I'm still not putting him over Jared Goff just because Jared Goff's body of work is still better than Mayfield's.
I think this was a learning lesson for Baker Mayfield, and it was one that Russell Wilson did not pay attention to. You cannot force-feed a certain wide receiver and expect it to go well because defenses will key in on this, and they go, okay, all we have to do is go up and stop Baker or stop Odell. That was Baker's fault. Was he kept keying in and trying to force the ball to Odell. That's when mistakes happen. We saw this later as the season progressed. Russell Wilson kept trying to force feed DK Metcalf. What happened in the playoffs? A pick six. What happened towards the rest of the season? Russell Wilson's numbers went down. And to me, that should be a learning lesson for all quarterbacks, especially Russell Wilson, who did not pay attention. But when you try and force feed a guy, I think that's a huge problem.
Sterling, I've told you the last 2 years that we've been doing shows that Russell Wilson is the first half is the start of the season MVP. He disappears, once 6-7 games come into and he finally get that first loss, and then he loses like 3 or 4 games, then he drops out of the MVP conversation. That's just who he is. Look, you like analytics. And when I try to break this, give you numbers and give you facts like that, that's not based off of analytics, it's just based off of, wins and losses and what the eye test is, you go against me, and I'm trying to figure out why you do this.
Cause I'm not going against
what you. Because what you're saying is what I've been saying about Russell Wilson the last 2 years.
I'm not going against you.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not going against you. I agree with you. I just think that this is maybe the reason why. this is the underlying factor, is maybe he's trying to force feed DK Metcalf. Maybe in the past he was trying to force feed Tyler Lockett or, you know, whoever else was there, because this is what it seems like to me is the same issue that plagued Baker early on this season is what was plaguing Russell Wilson later on. And they're different quarterbacks, but at the end of the day, Russell Wilson's
a better quarterback. I think it's more play calling than anything. Yeah, no, I'd be at it. Well, if you're going that direction, I would say it was more or less the play calling. But for some reason, Pete Carroll, Brian Schottenheimer, Russell Wilson, they can never set on what they want to do. Because remember that it was always talking about, well, he didn't have a running game. And then, of course, but even when he had Marshawn Lynch, it was like, well, they don't have an offensive line. And so the offensive line couldn't block for beast mode. Then the offensive line couldn't block for Russell. But then this year it's like, okay, well, you had a running game, you had Carlos Hyde, you had Chris Carson, but then you're talking about, well, Russell Wilson ain't throwing the ball, but he threw for over 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, 38 touchdowns. So, I mean, I don't know what the answer is in Seattle. Fortunately, we don't cover them like that, so so I can't pinpoint exactly what the issue is, because they were also bad defensively for a while. But when they brought in Jamal Adams, it's funny. Jamal Adams was like the Bobby Wagner of the defensive backs. I guess you could say he was an Earl Thomas or Cam Chancellor. I mean, he really is a difference maker. And most people would say that was a steep price. I know we talked about it yesterday, yeah. I believe, on the two first round picks, but hell, he was more than worth it, man. I think he was more than worth what Seattle gave up for him. It's just, look, they did what they did defensively what they had to do. It was the offense that let them down.
Yeah, no, and it's weird because they always made excuses for Russell Wilson, say no run game, no offensive line. And in the start of the season, the defense was bad, but once the defense turned it around, Russell Wilson just fell off the face of the earth. At this point, there is no excuses, and you have to put the blame on Russell Wilson. But I do want to move on and talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, because it's looking like they're going to probably go with Urban Meyer. What do you make of this Urban Meyer? Because they saw him landing in Jacksonville, all these meetings, multiple meetings with Shad Khan. What do you make of Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Let me take a step back in there, because, one, I love Urban Meyer, but I would have loved Urban Meyer as a Dallas Cowboys coach last year because of the gravitas he would have brought to the Cowboys. And I just think things would have played out differently this year had he been there. Now, that being the case, the one negative as it relates to Urban Meyer with the Jacksonville job is the calendar. And unfortunately, I did not get a chance to ask Eric Bieniemy question today on the Zoom call. That's because of the Chiefs. They're on some bull jive right now. But because of that, my question to Eric would have been, is the calendar hurting him? Because he can't accept the job, for some reason, right now during the playoffs. Like, he can literally only be hired after the playoffs, which I don't understand that, because it used to be a situation where the coaches could accept the job, but they can accept the job, kind of like Steve Sarkisian, right? Down in Alabama, where he accepted the job, I think, over at Texas, but he was still able to coach through the national title game. Well, you got a situation where Bieniemy, where he interviewed for Jacksonville, he interviewed for the Chargers, I believe, and he's not able to get these second round interviews or whatever, because now he's back in playoff mode. Well, you got Robert Saleh over in San Francisco, who's going back for a second interview with the Chargers, had a second interview with the Jets, and interviews with some of these other people, some of these other places, where these other coaches are getting second interviews, where Eric cannot, because he's in the midst of a playoff. I say that to say that that it might end up hurting Bieniemy not getting a job, among other things. Now, going back to your original question as it relates to Urban Meyer, I think it's good for him. I mean, he seems like, a return to Florida would be inevitable for him. He gets a chance to bring his resume up to the National Football League, which I'm going to be honest, you know, a lot of people were shocked that Nick Saban was not as successful in his 2 years. And I think that had he been able to get Drew Brees, he might not have gone back down to Alabama, might not have gone back down to college football. So I think that plays a factor. But if he goes to Jacksonville, and you know, if he has learned anything from being an analyst and watching from 30,000 feet and seeing how this league is operated, I think if he surrounds himself with quality people, which I know he will. You know, he brings that resume, he brings that cachet, he brings that aura that the players will respect. Because Shad Khan is going to pay him the money that, you know, that's going to get the respect. He's going to get between $9 to $12 million. And when he gets down there, you know, players are going to respect what he did at the college level, because he did it at both Ohio State and he did it down in Florida. And hell, he probably recruited some of the players, you know, that's on the Jacksonville team. So it's not like he's not going to come with, you know, with the type of respect that someone like Adam Gates, like, who are you? You know, so, you know, players have seen him on Saturdays and seen him coach the big game. So they know he can win. They know he can coach. So I really do like this move. If it wasn't for Eric Bieniemy, that would have been my coach. That would have been a strong suggestion for me for a coach to come to the NFL. And look, I'll be honest, and I think, you know, last year when Dallas had the opening, I think I was all on Urban Meyer being there. So I was kind of shocked when they got Mike McCarthy. I was like, why him? You know, and I thought because the question had gone out to him, and I think we even played on the show, where he was on Colin Cowherd, and he talked about, you know, if the Dallas Cowboys call you, that's the one job that you listen to, that if it's offered, you take it. And he said that he would have done that then. So when I heard that, I was like, well, I believe, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought he might have coached Ezekiel Elliott or am I wrong about that? Did he or did he not coach Ezekiel Elliott?
I'm trying to think of when his last year was in college football, because I know they won the title in 2014, and Zeke was what, 20? Maybe that'd have been his freshman year, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So you know, because if that's the case, look, if you never go back there and coach Zeke, and then you know, with that, you know, I just think that type of football mind and talent would have worked perfect in Dallas, because you already got a lot of things and a lot of players in place. I just think that he would have needed. I think that obviously Jerry Jones being an issue, you know, he would have been able to put his own stamp on there, and wouldn't have been like a Mike McCarthy where you have to question some of the coaching decisions during the season. I don't think that you're going to get that with Urban Meyer. So if they do hire him, I do believe it would be a good move, and I do believe he will go after Trevor Lawrence and be able to build out and build around Trevor Lawrence to make that team successful.
Yeah, before we get to Erica Bieniemy, because I do want to talk about the, you know, the compensation pick that the Chiefs will receive, and if that's hindering Eric Bieniemy, as well as the fact that teams can't talk to him until after, or he can't sign until after the playoffs. With Urban Meyer, the one thing I would say that would give me a little bit of worry is sometimes with college coaches, they try extremely hard to treat the NFL as if it were a college game, i.e. using college-style plays. You know, we've seen, you know, Chip Kelly. Remember Chip Kelly? Remember
that? Oh, yeah.
You know, you have a very successful 1 year. You run your college-style offense. You have the Wildcat. You bring in these plays. But what happens after that? It doesn't work because they're just too athletic. They're too good in the NFL for those college-style offenses. I don't know if Urban Meyer would bring that style, a college style, to the NFL, because if that's the case, you know, it's too early to judge, for example, Matt Rhule, you know, the Baylor head coach. It's too early to judge what he's done in Carolina after 1 year. Someone like Cliff Kingsbury, he's done all right. I mean, he's done fine, but even that, missing the playoffs when you had Kyler Murray, and DeAndre Hopkins, that's not a great start. You know, sometimes college coaches like this make me at least a little bit nervous.
No, I'm with you. I think the difference between Chip Kelly and this guy here, that Chip Kelly had a very arrogant persona and attitude about himself, where he thought he was greater than what he really is. Urban Meyer knows how good he is, but he doesn't have to go out and put, you know, he doesn't have to go out and talk about it because he lets his resume speak for itself. And I can only go off of what I see because obviously, you know, neither one of us know the man, but his persona, his demeanor on what you see on Saturdays on Fox and during the college football season. I mean, he just seemed like someone that's reserved, that knows the game, that knows the ins and outs, someone that studies and then also surrounds himself by good and smart people. Because look, you don't win three national titles to different major division schools unless you know the game of football. I think obviously he and Nick Saban are one of two that have done that. So if he comes in, he will come in deferential, but you know, I mean, this is a win now type league. Obviously, the type of contract, if he gets a job that he signs with Shad Khan, you know, I think he'll be in it for the long haul because, you know, he's going to be at the forefront of drafting a franchise quarterback. So if you're Shad Khan, I mean, what you have to do is you have to allow this head coach and this quarterback to grow together. I mean, it's basically a partnership, you know, between those two. And so I think at the end, I think it'll work out for Jacksonville, and I think Urban Meyer will come, and again I think because of his resume, you know, he will get the respect at the NFL level that Chip Kelly didn't. Because look, you know, like you said, when Chip Kelly came into Philadelphia, you know, look, the players didn't buy into him, and you know, there were some other social issues as well dealing with Chip Kelly that you have to worry about with Urban Meyer.
Yeah, Urban Meyer, I'll give you that. And if you're Shad Khan, you got to give him at least, I don't know, 5 years. And the reason why is you said it perfectly. When you have a rookie quarterback, same thing with Zach Taylor out in Cincinnati, you want those guys to build together. You want to start something, and you want to make sure the quarterback is comfortable for the long haul. Baker Mayfield went through so many coaches, so many offensive coordinators. I mean, Sam Darnold's probably going to go through the same thing with the Jets, or at least he's getting a new one this season. It's tough for a young quarterback to get his footing. If you look at what typically great quarterbacks have, and that's consistency around them, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Josh Allen for to an extent up there, you know, Lamar Jackson, you know, Tom Brady, obviously. If you have consistency around your head coaching, around offensive coordinators, I think that just builds a lot of trust and development for your young quarterback.
No. I agree with you 1,000%, and I know we're going to talk about EB in just a second, but also because of someone's resume, you know, like you said, you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier this week, Deshaun Watson, that's why he was real big on trying to have Louis Riddick as his GM and Eric Bieniemy. One, because, you know, he believes that they're good enough to do the job. But then, two, he's also seen what Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City has done with Patrick Mahomes. And because of the relationship that Mahomes and Watson have together, I mean, you know, if Mahomes is like, yo, EB is just that dude, well, Deshaun Watson wants to experience what that dude can do for him. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah,
think,
so no.
Think of Watson with some consistency.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, and look, I mean, it just, J.J. Watt said it best, man, you know, wasting a year of his career. I mean, you think about Bill O'Brien being hired today by the Alabama football, you know, Crimson Tide football team, man. You know, I mean, he wastes a year of Deshaun's career because of his ego. Because of his ego. You know, one, he should have been fired last year, you know, just for blowing a 24-point lead and losing 51-31. So he should have got fired, but instead he got promoted to GM. And after he did that, he traded, he traded DeAndre Hopkins. I'm like, how do you do – I mean, where do they do that at, Sterling?
It makes no sense. And the only thing you can give Bill O'Brien credit for is even with some of the stupid coaching moves, the terrible GM moves he made, he somehow kept taking them to the playoffs consistently. And you can say Deshaun Watson, but he did it early. It made no sense. It made zero sense, and maybe it's because Deshaun had even though Bill O'Brien was bad, it was still consistency because he was still there for Deshaun Watson's at least start of his career. I think even if you're a bad head coach, sometimes it can still help at least having that connection. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm glad Bill O'Brien's gone. I want to see what goes on now that, you know, for example, if Deshaun Watson, you said yesterday you don't think he's going to stay in Houston. I have some feeling. I feel like he's going to stay in Houston. If they get a good head coach in Houston, don't you think Deshaun Watson would want to stay?
Here's the problem. You know, he wanted you to bring in, bring in Eric Bieniemy. But the problem with that is that you can't talk to him until the season. Now, look, if you're Houston, obviously you hope the Chiefs lose this weekend so you can bring him in. But just to bring him in, you know, I mean, you could be bringing him in just to, quote, unquote, appease Deshaun Watson and then turn around and hire somebody, you know, from the New England Patriots water staff or whatever as the head coach, you know, just to say, well, yeah, we interviewed Eric Bieniemy. And so, look, if you do not offer Eric Bieniemy a job or offer him the head coach because that's who your quarterback wants, then there's nothing else to talk about.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, the one thing I want to talk to you about Eric Bieniemy is the compensation picks that the Chiefs would get if he were to leave.
Yeah.
So we'll take a quick break. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Darren, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing over here?
Because I'm looking at this meme of Once Upon a Time in Brooklyn, New York, Boys in the Hood, and it's got Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. And he looks like Ice Cube. It's just, so Kyrie Irving looks like, I guess he's supposed to be Morris Chestnut, and James Harden is supposed to be Ice Cube, and Kevin Durant will be Cuban Gooding Jr. Man, it's just, oh God, I'm about to take a picture of it and send it to you, but it is hilarious right now.
Darren's over here trying to describe video media or video medium over an audio medium over here. I'm proud of you, Darren.
Oh yes, well, trust me, when you see it, you're gonna bug up laughing.
All right, well. Eric Bieniemy.
I'm sending it to you right now while we talk.
I've heard some news that people think that Eric Bieniemy may not be getting a job because of the potential picks that the Chiefs could receive in return. I go, okay, maybe for the Chargers, but even then, I don't really think teams wouldn't hire Eric Bieniemy because they would get 2 third-round draft picks. What do you think?
First of all, they have to be thinking too far ahead to be even thinking about something like that. Obviously, the Detroit Lions are going to get a couple of third-round. Well, they're going to receive a third-round draft, a compensatory pick this year and next year in the draft for losing, for signing Brad Holmes.
Looks like we lost Darren right here. So until he gets back on, I will say what I have to say about this. I don't think any team is not going to sign Eric Bieniemy because they have to.
That third round compensatory pick.
Darren.
I guess the issue I would have is, well.
You cut out right there. You cut out for about 45 seconds. So come back in. All right. Darren keeps cutting in and out. I'll have to text him. No team, though, is doing this. Darren, you gotta fix your connection, my man.
No, I'm here.
You're back.
I'm here.
You're back in the
saddle.
I'm back. Okay.
Yeah, it must have been the tie line. But I'm sorry. No, basically, long story short, if you're a team that you're so concerned about the Chiefs having a third round compensatory pick because you're hiring, because you're hiring someone there. Well, perhaps you as the organization should have some minority candidates that other teams can go out and hire, and then that way you can be compensated with some third-round picks.
Oh, sure. I just don't think this is going to stop any team from signing Eric Bieniemy. If it does, then you're poorly run organization. Like the only team,
oh, I agree.
The only team you could even consider making an argument for would be the Chargers because you have to face him twice a year. But even then, if that's your marking for whether or not you hire the head coach that you want or don't want, that's just a poorly run organization. I don't know. To me, I just don't see this being a big deal. If you're Kansas City, you're probably happy because you're getting a pick out of it. I don't know if, for example, Darren, how do you feel about this? Because to me, I don't want this to be a situation where teams hire a guy for only 1 year, then let him go, just so that way they get the draft pick. You know, I think that would be disingenuous, and, you know, I don't think it would make someone like Eric Bieniemy happy.
You sign Eric Bieniemy 5 years, $45 million, and you fire him after 1 year, I'm straight with that because at least he gets another $36 million to cash in with. So you want to do that, fine. I mean, look, that'll just show everybody the type of organization that you are. I don't think that would generally happen. I know, you know, outside of a Steve Wilkes situation out in Arizona, I don't really foresee that happening. Look, for you to be in a situation like that, one, the organization has to be really, 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 really bad. And outside of New York Jets, you know, those other squads, even Jacksonville to an extent, aren't that bad. I mean, again, I've always said that the Chargers are a playoff ready-made team. I think if you got Eric Bieniemy there, I think he takes them over the top because I think he will surround himself with great coordinators and great position players, you know, saying that will help make him look good. And look, you got players there already. It's now, I don't know. Again, I don't know whether or not the Chargers are going to be the one to bring him in, but any team that brings him in brings in not only a good X's and O guy, but also someone that can win the locker room. And see, that's what's going to be key. Adam Gase never had control of his locker room in the 2 years. I mean, and to be quite honest, I think it's some of those things that we don't talk about, that we don't look at, that becomes more important than, you know, than really X's and O's sometimes, you know, is the relationship between players and the coaches. Look, good, bad, or indifferent how I feel about Andy Reid. The players, they swear by him. Good, you know, I mean, you know, Kareem Hunt.
Well, I hope you love Andy Reid, Darren.
No. I'm not saying it's I don't, but I'm saying, but I'm saying, you know, how I feel about him doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? But it's how do the players feel about your coach. They'll run through a brick wall for him, which is why, you know, they're on a running back tour to get to the Super Bowl. Look, they'll do everything they, you know, he tells them to do that they have to do to put themselves in a position if they win this year to try to come back and win next year. I'm saying you don't get that type of buy-in in everybody's locker room because everybody doesn't believe what the head coach had. Look, do you think that the players bought into what Matt Patricia was talking when he walked through the front door?
No, hell no.
Exactly. So I'm saying Andy Reid comes in. People are like, you know, I mean, look, you're always going to be skeptical until you start seeing things, how they bloom out like a flower. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I rock with this guy. And, you know, players swear by him. And look, the history, you know, somebody like Andy Reid doesn't coach 20-plus years unless you're a good coach and unless you got players that buy into what you do. And so, like a Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, if he got fired tomorrow, could have, you know, I would say go to the Chargers. But if he got fired tomorrow and walked into a locker room, you don't think players are going to buy into whatever he says right away because of who he is and because of what he's accomplished and because people buy into the person. And so I think that Eric Bieniemy is that type of person as well. One, I know Eric Bieniemy outside of Arrowhead One, so, you know, I know what kind of guy he is.
Yeah, again, it's mind-blowing that I feel like he has not gotten more national media talk about a certain position, yeah, a certain job, because we're seeing Robert Saleh, you know, getting second interviews.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm talking about before, but also, you got to remember, 49ers ain't in the playoffs. And as I said earlier, I don't know if that works against Eric Bieniemy as well. I mean, that could be another discussion for another time, Sheldon. But again, you know, but as long as the Chiefs keep winning, he can't, you know, he can't like go get another job because he's got to focus on the job at hand, which is fine with us, you know. But I just don't know if that works against them or not right now.
Well, that's actually what I was about to say, was with the fact that the Chiefs are still in the playoffs and they can't get Eric Bieniemy, the fact that, as minor as we think it is, you know, two draft picks to the Chiefs, if you're a team trying to compete, say the Chargers, if that's going against them, you know, are there a lot of factors going against Eric Bieniemy that maybe we don't know about that could potentially keep him from getting a job this season?
I mean, if you let people tell you, or if you just listen to folk, well, I mean, there's something in everybody's past that, you know, that could come up, that could be an issue, but, you know, but people still make excuses for people who they want to hire anyway. So, I mean, no, I mean, if people try to say he doesn't interview well, I don't believe that's true, because, hell, there's a lot of white coaches who go out for interviews that don't, you know, that may not interview well, but we don't hear about that. We just hear about the ones that look like he and I that don't go out and interview well, but can still do the damn job. If they don't want him, here's the thing. It seems as though Urban Meyer was always who the Jacksonville Jaguars were looking to get, because, you know, there has been talk about him for some time. But you still put on this dog and pony show by bringing Eric and a few others in anyway, because you are fulfilling the Rooney Rule. But only Urban Meyer is the one that is having these conversations, going back out and actually meeting with the owner and putting the staff together and stuff. And it's like, well, damn, I mean, you know, can I at least get an email that says, you know, thanks for applying, but, you know, we decided to go in a different direction if I'm Eric Bieniemy, versus just, you know, we do a Zoom call for a couple of hours, and now next thing I know, Urban Meyer is flying into town from L.A., to Jacksonville to meet with the owner on his yacht. Like, where do they do that at?
And I guess that kind of brings up a point of, if Jacksonville always wanted Urban Meyer, which I think he has the pedigree that you could say makes sense, that's okay, does that almost seem disingenuous, almost seeming like wasting Eric Bieniemy's time in that matter? Is it almost a waste of Bieniemy's time if they know that they aren't going to hire him? They know that. They want Eric Bieniemy, or they want Urban Meyer. You know, is that bad for Bieniemy?
Man, I really don't know how to answer that, because if I'm Eric Bieniemy, you also don't want to be seen as turning down an interview. But that's a catch 2020 right there, because, look, you don't know, because obviously Urban Meyer has also interviewed with the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, you know, if I'm Urban Meyer, I'm looking at the Chargers like, man, they got a playoff ready made team. You're like, man, you can bring your credentials and already be marching to the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, look, maybe he wants to return to Florida. I, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe with no state taxes, that could be something, that could be a factor.
Both are warm. Both are warm.
Trust me, L.A. Jacksonville, yeah, but trust me, L.A. is much better than Jacksonville. that being said, here's the thing, and I don't want to come out hypocritical, because I'm a huge fan of Urban Meyer, and I would have loved for him to have gotten a job with the Dallas Cowboys. So as it relates to pedigree, more or less, I don't have a problem if Jacksonville hires Urban Meyer, because I was hiring him last year, and me personally, I've always wanted to see what he could do at the next level. I think that he could be a Jimmy Johnson, Pete Carroll at this level versus the Nick Saban. So that's how much I believe in what he can do. I also believe, obviously, in Eric Bieniemy. You know, if given the opportunity and given the right chance. See, I don't want the enemy just taking any job just to say he's a head coach. Like, I don't want him taking the New York Jets job. I don't want him doing that. You know, I'd rather you stay in Kansas City versus go there and have an Adam Gase 2-year career, and then people think that you can't coach. Well, if that's the case, hell, stay in Kansas City. Or for that fact, you know, take the Chargers job if offered, or even Houston. I'd rather you go to Houston than go to the New York Jets. All that being said, though, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I do still take the interview, because you never know. You know, something could happen where negotiations could snag, with Urban Meyer and Shad Cannon, and then, you know, and then they may come back. And look, I mean, you might have to play second fiddle, but you know what? If it's still a situation where it ends up better than, you know, than the alternative, then I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, I'll play second fiddle for $40 million.
See, I like the way you think, Sterling. Think about that childhood trust fund.
Well, Philip Rivers has told the GM of the Colts, Chris Ballard, he does not know if he is going to play next season. One, this puts the Colts in a very tough spot. Two,
no, it don't.
Well, no, it does. It almost was what Drew Brees has done to the Saints, which I don't think it's talked about enough, is Drew Brees not saying, is he or is he not coming back next year? And he's done this for a few years now, makes it very tough on the Saints to prepare for the future. If you're the Colts, you go, well, are we going to try and draft a quarterback? Are we going to go all in? Or are we going to try and see if we can get one more run out with Philip Rivers? Because Philip Rivers at least took you to the playoffs. He gave you a chance against a very good Bills team. Philip Rivers was not the problem this season.
Thankfully. My only pushback to that is seeing who else is out there in the free agent market, and then if not, how much would it cost you to retain Philip this year? Now, if it's going to cost you the same price, $25 million, like it will be Tom Brady 2 years down in Tampa, okay, I can deal with that because you're not killing your salary cap, and because the cap may go down next year because of COVID and everything. You got to see where, you know, we got to see how that factors into things. But because you already got pieces in place, like, I mean, you know, you may be able to work a trade and get and draft higher up and maybe get that BYU quarterback. You never know.
Yeah.
So, but again, you know, because I know we'll talk about obviously postseason and after the season ends and get a lay of the land and see who's available for these teams. Because like we did last year, trying to figure out, okay, well, if Dak Prescott doesn't get re-signed, you know, there's only so many teams because, you know, a Justin Fields and a Trevor Lawrence are going to end up somewhere. And then you got these other teams that already have their franchise quarterback. So it's not going to be too many teams that will have players available or positions available to where if the Colts do, then, you know, I mean, and like I said, Phillip Rivers can't take, I think he said take about a month. Well, brother, that's all you better have because, you know, because by that time, by the end of the Super Bowl, I'm trying to see who's going to be available out there as a free agent. And, you know, I'm starting to call other people's phone lines.
Before we take a break, I got to ask you, will you be sad to an extent when Philip Rivers is retired? Will that make you at least a little sad seeing him play?
No.
You don't have, come on. You've seen him play for so long with the Chargers and now with
Dude, I don't have no emotional attachment to Phillip Rivers. I don't care.
I'm not saying you have an emotional attachment, but seeing all the rivalries throughout the years with him and the Chiefs, I would be a little sad. I'm not, and not like sad.
I mean, maybe I'll be sad because he won't throw four interceptions to us. I mean, other than that, no, I don't. Phillip Rivers has done nothing for me to be excited, sad, glad to see him go. I mean,
you have the almost hatred towards him, the rivalry, and that's what's almost sad. It's that aspect.
I don't hate the man.
I'm just saying.
I care about him like I care about Dwayne Haskins. I don't.
Man, Dwayne Haskins, come on!
I'm trying to be honest now. I mean,
he needs a. Dwayne Haskins needs a job. Come on, Darren. We'll hire Dwayne Haskins.
Okay. I mean, look, I'll put like this, man. I care about him like I care about Alex Smith when he was quarterback of the Chiefs. I didn't. I mean, he brought nothing to me.
Which is still, you know what, we have to take a break, but you're almost disdain for Alex Smith blows my mind. I just don't get it.
Yep, you'll be okay.
All right, we'll take a quick break. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. Do you want to be a Houston fan right now?
Oh, I just asking in general because for a second, you know, you had that desperado type music on. I'm sitting there thinking Antonio Banderas is about to come join us on the show.
The Rolling Stones, come on, man.
I'm just saying the beat of it. I would not want to be a Houston fan right now. I'd be feeling a certain kind of way too if I was a Houston native.
Eric Gordon comes out and says, at least they finally have a real direction, basically, since Harden is gone. Were there a lot of underlying issues, do you think, surrounding James Harden and this team that may not have gotten to the surface, but now that he's gone, we're finally seeing the cracks? Because Boogie Cousins came out yesterday and was very harsh on James Harden. I mean, Boogie Cousins said some very harsh things about Harden.
Well, I mean, that's to be expected because you got to remember Harden did kind of come disrespectful to, after the postgame show where he talked about, you know, this team isn't all that good. I mean, that's mad disrespectful. So, I mean, you know, Boogie just came back with the same energy that James Harden gave before he left. So, look, I don't have any problems with what Boogie said at all. Look, man, he wanted to get out of Houston, and so he did and said whatever he needed to do, which, you know, the weather meant eating too many buggers of chicken at the strip club and putting on all that extra weight. That's what he did.
No, I'm 100% with you. I think what Boogie said was nowhere out of line. I think Boogie Cousins had every right, especially as a four-time All-Star. You definitely deserve that right.
The only good thing is that I'm glad that they got rid of him before they allowed him, you know, and kept him away from the locker room because I believe had he gone back, I think it would have been a confrontation.
Oh.
And it's something that you don't want to have.
Not with Boogie Cousins. That man is the new Z-Bo in the NBA. Who's the new Chris Bosh on the Nets between Durant, Harden, and Kyrie? Which one's the Chris Bosh?
It's Kyrie, man. It's going to be Kyrie. Hell, because you don't even know one when Kyrie's going to return. And so, it's Kyrie all day, every day. Kyrie moves from the second best player down to the third. Look, he thought he didn't like to be somebody's Robin to somebody's Batman. He's about to be somebody's Alfred now. So he's in deep trouble now.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie Irving, I'm surprised he hasn't already asked for a trade. You know what would be funny? Let's have Kyrie Irving get traded for Russell Westbrook and have the three guys back again. Just go
that's
full
just
circle.
Wrong,
go full circle.
Still, that's just wrong.
Come on. Go full circle.
Still, that is just wrong.
Okay. Before we get out of here.
Not that I don't like it. I'm just saying that's just wrong.
It's hilarious.
I didn't think that you could. Yeah, well, I didn't think that you had that in you, Sterling. So
I want to see the world burn over here watching Russell Westbrook, Durant, and Harden get back together. Come on.
Hey, man, that would just be such irony.
So for the Chiefs, Clyde, Willie Gay, and Sammy Watkins did not practice. Are you concerned by these three guys missing?
No, because, I mean, Willie Gay out of all of them, because, you know, I expect this from, from Sammy, because, hell, he's never healthy. So, to be honest, if he were to come back and play in this postseason, I would be surprised. You know, look, man, I don't know, man. Let me just keep my mouth shut, because I'm already.
No, say it. Come on. You got to say it.
I'm already.
You got to say it.
I mean, Chiefs know what this dude is going to do, you know what I mean? And they know, you know, they already knew that he wasn't going to be ready for the playoffs, but they keep, as usual, trying to drag the media around about it.
So you're saying you're not blaming Sammy as much as you are blaming the Chiefs for not saying how serious the injury is?
No, I'm blaming Sammy and the Chiefs.
Okay. I just wanted to hear it. I wanted to hear it, Darren. No, I'm with you.
I give you the good stuff.
I don't think we'll see Clyde. I don't know about Willie Gay. I think Sammy Watkins is the biggest miss, though, of these three. I think not having Sammy in the playoffs is a big miss. But we'll talk all this and more tomorrow on Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Thank you to Darren Smith. I hope you feel better.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. So maybe tomorrow you'll feel better. Maybe tomorrow you'll feel even better. You'll be off the day-to-day restrictions, huh? We'll get you off that day today.
Sounds good, my man. Thank you.
Well, until tomorrow, this was Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Deuces.